to bring you this message. Very important. You're going to hear something and learn something tonight if you'll listen to me. Listen on purpose. Don't make me have to get your attention. Please, just give it to me for a minute tonight. And I want to preach on the pearl of great price. Maybe you might not never hear it like this again. You're going to hear the Bible way tonight. Matthew chapter 13. And look at verse 45. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 45. The Bible said again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I'll preach tonight on the subject, the pearl of great price. Now tonight, this pearl story here is in a series of parables that the Lord Jesus Christ gave. It's important that you get these parables straight and know who represents what when you're understanding parable, especially here in Matthew 13, in these what we call these kingdom parables. One of the things that messed up our generation of preachers is that we have a whole generation of TV preachers who preach this, what they call, kingdom gospel, and they're so confused because they believe that all God's promises to Israel, past and future, are applied to the church now, doctrinally, which they are not. So tonight, we're going to look at how this fits doctrinally, practically, and we're going to hit on some heavy doctrine here tonight, and then hopefully it'll help you to be a blessing to you this evening. The background on pearls, scripturally, this parable would represent this. You got to understand this right. The pearl of great price is not a sinner hunting salvation and getting saved. That's where a lot of preachers preach it, but there's no way that it can fit the scripture like that. They say, boy, I was out looking and I was searching all over the world, found the pearl of great price. I mean, you might analyze it like that, but it's not what the parable is saying. The man in this story would be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He said He's like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. If you know your Bible, pearls and costly stones in the Bible represent people. And especially in the female, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The Lord said in Matthew, He said when He comes back, I will make up my jewels. And Christians are represented as precious stones. So the pearl would represent the church. When He had found one pearl, not two, 15, one, of great price, it said that He sold all that He had and bought it. So this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, goes and pays the ultimate price, His blood, for the one precious pearl, the church of Jesus Christ. That's what this parable is teaching. If you don't teach it like that, you have to say the man and all those other parables would rather, because the man and all these preceding parables represent the Lord Jesus Christ also. You say, well, I've never heard it taught like that. Well, you need to get it straight. And all these other parables, Jesus Christ would be the man in the other parables. So it's very, very doubtful. You don't sell all you have by salvation. He gave His blood and bought the church. And it is the pearl of great price. So the pearl tonight represents the church of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Now I want to say four or five things about it tonight. And I want to say, first of all, number one, the pearl tonight is the only stone that is an organism. You listen. The pearl is the only stone that is an organism. A diamond, just minerals. A ruby is just minerals. Sardonyx, onyx, all the other precious stones have just minerals in them. A pearl is a part of a living thing. As a matter of fact, it is actually alive, they say. They say that a pearl, if any of you ladies have a real, honest-to-goodness pearl, a pearl actually needs to be worn in order to keep its shine and its luster and its brightness. If you had a diamond, you could lay it up and leave it 5 years and open up your diamond case and it'd look exactly the same. If you had a ruby, you could leave it laying in the drawer. But a pearl can't do that. A pearl loses its shine unless it stays in touch with human skin. And they say that there's something about human skin, it draws from it and pulls from it. So it makes a pearl different from every other stone in the world. Now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the Church of Jesus Christ. There is only one church. Now, we are all that us are saved are a part of the Lord's body, and it's a living organism. The church is a living organism. The church is not an organization. The church is an organism. Even though we're organized, the church is alive. The church is not like any other group on this earth. It's not like the clubs. It's not like the Moose Club or the Kiwanis or anything like that. Somebody said, oh, well, the church is a good organization and the Kiwanis is a good organization. No, sir. The church is an organism. That means it is alive. It is alive. A pearl tonight is a part of an organism. Compared to people. Proverbs chapter 31 talks about a precious purchased woman. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, he talks about precious stone. In Malachi 3:17, he talks about making up my jewels. In Zechariah 9:16, he talks about the people being stones in a crown. And so tonight, the pearl is an image. As a matter of fact, imitation pearls, I'll talk about how pearls are made in a minute, imitation pearls don't work. They said, you know, a pearl is formed by suffering. A pearl is formed by suffering. What makes a pearl is that it is suffering. A little piece of a grit or a piece of sand or something will get into that oyster shell and irritate that body of that oyster. And it hurts. There's a lot of pain involved. So the oyster's body naturally secretes some kind of something to form around, just like our body would, go around that thing that's hurting it, and it goes around it, and around it, and around it, and around it, and gets hard, and that's how a pearl is formed. Is that by suffering of an oyster. Boy, if that won't, I mean, if you think about that, that'll make you shout your head off. When you think about, you know what? Yes, the church is alive. The church is a part of is an organism. And the church is formed by suffering. There was one went up to a Calvary's cross many, many years ago and suffered to form the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you're saved, you are a part of the church of Jesus Christ. Christ on this earth. And I'm glad and I'm proud and I'm not ashamed to be associated with the church of Jesus Christ on this earth. We are part of His body. Now, they said years ago, these men who found pearls, they go searching. These divers go down into the bottom of the ocean to seek out goodly pearls. And they go down. We'll talk more about that in a minute. They said they'd go down there and all of a sudden, they started finding a whole bunch of pearls. It used to, they'd only find one in a very great while. It was rare. Then they started finding a bunch of them. But upon closer examination, it was found that these men were getting all these oysters off the bottom of the ocean and they were putting stuff in them. They were planting stuff like a little tiny bead, tinier than a buckshot, and putting it inside that oyster so that it would form a pearl around it. And then when they got the pearl, they'd find out it had something in it. And they said it had a false heart. And it wasn't a real pearl. They said these pearls had a false heart. When I read that, Brother Jeremy, I thought, Lord, have mercy. Isn't that the way people are? Well, you got all these buildings around with a steeple on top of them, with cars sitting out in the parking lot, with people sitting there every Sunday, but many of it just have a false heart. It's not a real pearl. Let me tell you something tonight. Everybody listening to me this evening, I'm telling you what we're a part of here tonight. I'm not just talking about Shining Light Baptist Church. I'm talking about everybody that's born again. What we are a part of, brother, is the real deal. I'm telling you, I got birthed into this thing by the blood of Jesus Christ. He saved me, washed my sins away. I got put in the... I'm in the real church. I'm in the real church. I'm a part of His body, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Hallelujah, brother. I may not look like much, but God ain't through with me yet. I'm glad to say, I'm glad I'm a part of a real pearl tonight. Them old false hearts, ain't going to cut it. Them old imitation pearls. They're formed by glass, covered with beads. They tried to make them everywhere in the world, but they're not real. They don't bond to that flesh. They don't get their luster of human flesh when they touch it. A real pearl does. I'm telling you, a real pearl, a real church is in touch with human lives. A real church touches people. A real church cares about people. A real church ministers to people. A real church works with people. Let me tell you something. We are not in the monument business. We are in the people business. We are not, ladies and gentlemen, here to build a name for Brother Danny or nobody else. We are in the business of reaching men, women, boys, and girls with the gospel of Jesus. That is our only business. That's the pearl. Amen. It's an organism. Let me say also tonight, a pearl cannot be divided. A pearl cannot be divided. You can take a big diamond. I read about, I studied about this a little bit this weekend, and they found one of them diamonds over there in Africa. It's almost like 3,000 carats. Any of you ladies like to have that? That's a rock, brother. 3,000 carats. I don't know how big that'd be. Something like that right there. How do you like that? Don't you know them rappers would give their right arm to have that hanging around their neck? Walk around like that. Lord have mercy, a diamond that big. You know what? You can take a diamond, and if a diamond's that big, you can take somebody that knows what they're doing and cut it and polish it and sell it for 2 diamonds. Or cut it 4 ways and sell it for 4 diamonds. You can cut that diamond up and say, here's you a 2-carat, here's you a 2-carat, here's you a 2-carat, and everybody can say, I got a diamond. I got a diamond. I got a diamond. But you can't divide a pearl. If you cut a pearl, it's ruined. If you bust a pearl in two, you don't have 2 pearls. They just one. That's a pearl of great price. And brother, I'm telling you tonight, Jesus don't have but 1 church. They ain't but 1 way. If you bust it up, you ain't got a church. I'm talking about over this world. Somebody said, well, the Muslims have their church, and the Hindus have their church, and the Christians have their church. No, they ain't but 1 church on this planet, and it can't be divided. It can't be 2. It's just 1. Amen, brother. A church, a real pearl cannot be divided. If it is, it's ruined. Amen. It's 1 unit. There's no such thing. By the way, while I'm saying this tonight, there is no such thing as a split rapture. You'll hear this taught on TV. The doctrine of the split rapture. You know what split rapture is? They can't understand Hebrews, so they take that verse in Hebrews 9 where it says, unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. A verse talking about the second advent, and apply it to the rapture and get their doctrine all screwed up. And they look around there and say, well, some of them Christians that ain't really looking for Him will miss the rapture, and the other Christians will be raptured up, but the ones that's backslid will have to go through the tribulation. I'm going to tell you something tonight. The Lord ain't going to split His body. When the rapture comes, every child of God on this planet is going in the rapture. You cannot divide God's church. It's a pearl. It can't be divided. Every little boy and girl that's born again, going in the rapture. Every old saint of God in the rest home, going up in the rapture. Every evangelist, every preacher, every Sunday school teacher, everybody's got saved, going up in the rapture. Somebody said, well, what about old so-and-so? He about half backslid. Man said, well, he'll go ricocheting off the planets. Bing, 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 bing. But he's going, amen? I'm telling you tonight, a pearl cannot be divided. We're all going in the rapture. Amen? By the way, I'll say more about that maybe in a minute. But I'm going to tell you something. There is no such thing as a split rapture. There is no such thing. The church, John the Baptist came and bridged the gap. You had Old Testament prophets. Then John the Baptist was a bridge. He said the law and the prophets were until John. Right? And old John the Baptist, he looked up and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Then Jesus calls the disciples. Then they're praying in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost comes down and forms His body officially, even though it probably started right back there when He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And they got there, and the Holy Ghost come down, formed that pearl of great price, and the body of Christ has goes from there until the rapture of the church, and every single person that's ever been saved from the day of Pentecost to the rapture is a part of God's church. And that's me and you. I'm telling you, people, you ought to shout when you think about being a part of God's church. Amen. It cannot be divided. By the way, that lets us, we got a group going around, a bunch of Baptist preachers, and I know some. They're good men, they just got a little bit too smart for their own good. Mom said they're too big for the britches. And they're called Baptist briders. And these Baptist briders believe that only the Baptist church is the bride of Christ. And everybody else who's saved might, will be a part, will go to heaven, but the Baptists that believe right are the bride of Christ. Now I would say some of you may have that background. I ain't trying to be ugly or nothing, but that's all, that puts John Wesley out of the body of Christ. And if John Wesley ain't the body of Christ, me and you ain't got much hope. Amen. I'm telling you, one man told, I heard a guy get up and preach one time. He said, "Bless God, these people that don't believe in eternal security are going to hell." And I thought, "You mean tell me John Wesley went to hell?" Listen, brother, a lot of them guys didn't believe right on certain things. A lot of them people believed different. But I'm going to tell you tonight, whether some of you Baptists like it or not, you got a lot of Pentecostal brethren that you're going to see in heaven one of these days. You got a lot of Church of God brethren. Some of them old Church of God women, some of them have put us to shame when it comes to living right. And they're going to be there shouting the praises of God. And they're going to be there worshiping the Lord. John Wesley was a Methodist. He wasn't like this modern-day Methodist. Somebody said, now if John Wesley come back, he'd faint before he got past the third ashtray. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, you hear me? They're a part of the bride. Everybody that's been saved. One man told me, he said, "Well, how could you be saved and believe like that?" And the answer is simple. You get saved by grace through faith, and then some of your kin folks get you and teaches you wrong and messes you up. That's very simple. I want to say tonight, ladies and gentlemen, a pearl cannot be divided. Heard about them people, they said they got to heaven, they went to heaven, and there's somebody's walking down through there, and there's a bunch of people over here shouting, praising God, and they asked St. Peter, they always say, "Who is that over there?" And he said, "Well, that's all them saved Methodists. You know, there's a lot of them old-time Methodists really saved and love the Lord." And he said, "There they are over there shouting." He went on down there and he said, another bunch of people over here shouting. He said, "Who's that?" He said, "That's them saved Pentecostals. Some of them was worried they wasn't going to make it, but they made it. Glory to God. And there they are. They're saved all along. Didn't even realize it. And they should have shouted the whole way, but thought they was going to lose it if they messed up. And they're over there shouting." And then he said he went on down the road a little bit and he said, "There's a square block building there," and he could see, hear somebody in there just screaming, hollering, tearing the walls down. And he said, "Who in the world's that?" He said, "Shh, that's a Baptist. And they think they're the only ones here." I got news for you tonight. We're going to be surprised who we're able to see up there. Amen. I'm a Baptist from head to toe, brother. I'm telling you, if somebody out there been born again, they're my brother, they're my sister, and they are part of God's bride, the pearl of great price. Let me say also tonight, right quickly. A pearl is an organism. A pearl cannot be divided. A pearl is solid white. Isaiah 1:18 said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And He said unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Ladies and gentlemen, these other, this color or that color representing other things, a pearl has no taint in it. It has no blemish in it. By the time God gets through with us, that's what we always tell people. They say, well, you ain't much of a Christian. I say, well, what? Give me, God ain't through with us yet. Wait till He gets through with us. We're going to look good then. When He shines us up and takes all the sin off of us and sets up on the shelf and puts us as a pearl, a necklace around the King's neck, we're going to look good then, brother. A pearl is white. Not only that, a number four or five, whatever this is, a diver has to go down and get it. A diver has to go down and get it. That'll preach. A diver has to go down and get it. Now, what I'm getting ready to spit out to you right now, it may take you hours to study in the Bible. You may have to go back and get this tape or CD or whatever. But this universe is pictured. Bible talks about there's a sea of glass. And it talks about it being over the north and it's frozen. So the top of the waters froze, and when a fisherman, come out to me and I'll make you fishers of men, cuts a hole in the ice and goes down to get the fish and pull them up through. And it goes, oh, I don't know, something about like this. Job 26, he stretches out the north over the empty place. Revelation chapter 4, talking about that sea of glass. We see through it darkly now, but then face to face. In Job 37, verse 18, along in there, it talks about it being a looking glass. The compass points north. That's where God lives, that way. That's why everybody in the world can say, where does God live? He lives north, upward. When we say, where's heaven? We don't go like that. Because people in China is down there pointing that way for up. We all point north. The compass points north. Isn't that a coincidence? How'd that evolve? That no matter where you're at in the world, the compass points north. And no matter where you are on this planet, when the trumpets sound, something's going to point you that way, and that's the way we're leaving. Isn't it weird that Santa Claus comes from the north and says, ho, 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 and he comes, and he knows everything. He sees you when you're sleeping. He sees when you're... He don't see nothing. He's blind. He's a hypocrite. Amen? He's a hypocrite, kids. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the merchant man saw the pearl, and he's coming from up north. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so you better get right before the rapture comes. That's my version of the song. Psalm 75:6, Satan tried to block it. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 3, God cuts a hole. John chapter 10, Jesus said, he that tries to come up some other way is the same as a thief and a robber. So the merchant man cuts a hole in the ice, goes down, puts out his bait, gets a hold of me and you, and when the rapture comes, right out through that hole and home to be with the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, listen what the Bible says about it. A pearl, a merchant man, had to go down and get it. Lastly, number six, whatever this is, when it comes up, it makes a necklace or a coronation of a king. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 16, a pearl with a little or no blemish is the most valuable. Sometimes blemishes can be peeled away. The pearl is then smaller but more valuable. Did you hear me? Sometimes a pearl will have a blemish, and they can work on them and peel it away. The pearl will be smaller, but more valuable. Sometimes when the Lord has to trim us back a little, it hurts and we don't like it.
like trimming a tree and stuff, like trimming our church, trimming our own individual life. But we hurt and we say, oh, I don't like that. But we're prettier and more valuable to the Lord after the blemish has been smoothed out. And that's what's going to happen at the judgment seat. And He's going to shine us up. And the pearl is smaller, but more valuable. And then He's going to put us there. We're going to deck it out and symbolically put us over the neck of Jesus. And wire those pearls, and we'll be a pearl, that pearl of great price, forever and ever and ever in heaven. See, if you're saved tonight, you are a part of the pearl of great price. There's only one. There ain't two. There ain't three. Just one. They say the largest pearl that's ever been found was 14 pounds. That must have been a sick oyster. It was in a clam, actually. It was in 1934. I guess they found them in clams. Lord, that'd be awful. But I'm telling you something, brother. That's a whopper. And that ain't nothing to the one Jesus is making. The pearl of great price. He shed His blood for you, young people. That's why when y'all go to school this week, and you go to church, and you go to town and everything, you hold your head up high and be proud to be called a Christian, and don't be ashamed of it. You're a part of the pearl of great price. We was playing ball over there the other night, our basketball team, and Brother Tim there, our coach, we was getting ready to pray. And he said, y'all, the most important thing out here is we're representing our church and the Lord. And that's true. That's true. Wherever we go, whatever we do, you are a part of a royal family, brother. You don't have to hang your head in shame of nobody. Be proud you're a part of God's church. Don't deserve it. But one of these days He's going to put us around His neck, man. And we're going to shine forever like the stars in God's church. Let's stand tonight and bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed.